This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not make any compromise. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after this, this tactic didn't work out. The people of Quraysh are more aggressive. They become more aggressive towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes they would send some of the younger ones, because no one is going to hold them accountable, the younger ones, to throw stones on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually was bleeding. Seems somebody was chasing him, some group were chasing him, and he was actually bleeding. He was feeling tired, physically and emotionally. So, as in Sahih al-Bukhari, he was one day sitting there, tired, exhausted, some parts of his body were bleeding. Jibreel comes to him. فَقَالَ لَهُ مَا لَكَ. He says, what's going on? What's wrong with you? فَقَالَ لَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَعَلَ بِهَا أُولَى وَفَعَلُوا وَفَعَلُوا. The people of Quraysh, they've done this and they've done that. They've hurt me. You see my state, I'm bleeding. فَقَالَ جِبْرِيلَ أَتُحِبُّ أَنْ أُرِيَكَ آيَةً. Jibreel said, do you like that I show you a sign? فَقَالَ نَعَمْ. The Prophet says, yes, indeed. فنظر إلى شجرة من وراء الوادي فقال أدعو تلك الشجرة. So across the valley there was a tree. So Jibreel says to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, call upon this tree. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم does. He calls upon the tree. The tree crawls and comes to where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is. فقال جبريل مرها فلترجع. Command it so it goes back to its original position. The Prophet ﷺ does and it goes back to where it came from. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. When the Prophet ﷺ saw that, he said, Hasbi, that's enough for me. This is enough of a sign for me. Why did Allah ﷻ send Jibreel with this? To comfort the Prophet ﷺ. Because the Prophet ﷺ was a human being. And under so much resistance, under so much hatred, and so much animosity and resistance, the Prophet ﷺ has an emotional state. At that moment, he was hurt. He was feeling deeply hurt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that as a human being, the Prophet ﷺ needs that type of support. So he sent it to him. We said at this stage that the people of Quraysh increased and intensified their aggression against Muslims to the point where the Prophet ﷺ, for the second time now, he is saying to the Muslims, you can migrate to Abyssinia. There's already some Muslims there. But this time the Prophet ﷺ is saying to the rest of the Muslims in Mecca, you guys can migrate to Abyssinia, to Al-Habasha. It is safer there. There is this just king, you can live under his reign and you will be safe. Because it became extremely unbearable for Muslims in Mecca. Extremely unbearable. And this is what we call the second migration to Abyssinia. The second group of Muslims migrating to Abyssinia. And it happened at a bigger scale. There were more people traveling, more Muslims traveling to Abyssinia or migrating to Abyssinia this time. So the Prophet ﷺ simply sent to them, إِنَّ بِأَرْضِ الْحَبَشَةِ مَلِكًا لَا يُظْلَمُ عِنْدَهُ أَحَدٍ. In the land of Abyssinia, there is a king where no one experiences injustice from him. فَالْحَقُوا بِبِلَادِهِ. So go and move to that land. حَتَّى يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ فَرَجًا وَمَخْرَجًا مِمَّا أَنْتُمْ فِيهِ. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a way out or some ease from the situation you guys are in. فَخَرَجْنَا إِلَيْهَا أَرْسَالًا. So we started going as groups. Groups going to Abyssinia. حَتَّى اجْتَمَعْنَا بِهَا. Until we all gathered in Abyssinia. A lot of the Muslims, the early Muslims, they gathered in Abyssinia. فَنَزَلْنَا بِخَيْرِ دَارِ. It was a very good place to stay in. It was a very safe, basically safe country to live in. وَإِلَى خَيْرِ جَارِ. And very good neighbors. أَمِنَّا عَلَى دِينِنَا وَلَمْ نَخْشَ مِنْهُ ظُلْمًا. We felt safe to practice our religion and we never feared any kind of injustice or oppression. فَلَمَّا رَأَتْ قُرَيْشُ أَنَّا قَدْ أَصَبْنَا دَارًا وَأَمْنًا اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَى أَنْ يَبْعَثُوا إِلَيْهِ فِينَا. When Quraysh realized, oh, these Muslims are safe, they're practicing their religion, they decided to send some deputies from Mecca to go and speak to the king, Al-Najashi. So hopefully he would hand the Muslims over to them and they could bring them captives back to Mecca. So Quraysh, it wasn't enough for them to make it hard for Muslims to practice Islam in Mecca. No, they didn't want to give any space for Muslims even outside of Mecca. فيخرجنا من بلاده وليردنا عليهم. So basically their plan was to speak to him. So he hands us over to them and they take us back to Mecca. So people of Quraysh sent two people, Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah. Amr ibn al-As and Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, two intelligent minds. Amr ibn al-As was called Dahiyatul Arab, the genius of the Arabs. He was a genius. He was a political genius. Political genius, a very intelligent man. Strategic thinking. Okay, he was extremely intelligent among all of the Arabs in the Arabian Peninsula. So they send these two people and they send with them a lot of gifts. Why? Because Najashi was known to, he's a royalty, he's a king. So he loved receiving gifts and being treated in a special way. And the gifts that he loved the most were things made of leather, things made of genuine leather. So the people of Quraysh gathered so much. They're still wealthy people. They gathered a lot of gifts for Najashi and for the patriarchs. Because that was a religious state in Abyssinia. It was a religious state. It was run by Najashi. Najashi was a religious figure as well. So his ministers and the people around him, the elite, were the religious people, patriarchs. The patriarchs were his advisors and counselors and ministers. They were patriarchs. So people of Quraysh brought so many gifts for Najashi and for his patriarchs in order to win them over. Some sort of a bribe. So they agree that before we approach Najashi, we'll approach the patriarchs, we'll give them gifts, and we'll tell them what the story is. These are people who left our religion, caused a lot of trouble, and now they sought refuge in your land. We want you to help us with your king, put up a word forward. When we speak with him, you guys just give him the advice. You should hand these guys over to Quraysh. The patriarchs, having the gifts, they said, yes, sure, that's what we're going to do. And they said to the patriarchs, if you can get Najashi, if you can get Najashi to hand over the Muslims to us without even speaking to them, that would be better. Without even speaking to them. We don't want to get into this business of having arguments and trying to explain ourselves and so on and so forth. If you can convince him to hand them over without any trouble, do that. So the patriarchs said, we'll try. We'll try. So the following day, they go to Najashi, they offer him the gifts. And some of the narrations indicate that every time people came to Najashi, he would say, what gifts do you have for me? That was his practice. What gifts did you bring for me? So they brought, and they brought him so much leather products. And he appreciated these gifts. He accepted the gifts. And he said, okay, what do you guys have to say? So they said, Ayyuhal Malik. They're speaking to the king. Inna fityatan min sufaha'ina faraqu deena qawmina. There is some foolish people from among us, troublemakers. They left our religion. Walam yadkhulu fi deenik. And they did not enter your religion. So now they're making it personal. They did not enter your religion. Okay, so they did not enter Christianity. وَجَاءُوا بِدِينٍ مُبْتَدَعٍ لَا نَعْرِفُهُ They came with a religion, they came up with a religion that is a new religion, an innovation, a bid'ah. That's what they said, bid'ah. They used the word bid'ah. They came with a bid'ah, with a blasphemy, a new religion, a new innovation. We don't know it, we don't recognize it. وَقَدْ لَجَأُوا إِلَى بِلَادِكَ They sought protection and refuge in your land. فَبَعَثَنَا إِلَيْكَ فِيهِمْ عَشَائِرُهُمْ So their families, their tribes, send us as deputies. آبَاؤُهُمْ Their fathers, their uncles, وَقَوْمُهُمْ And their people. لِتَرُدَّهُمْ فَهُمْ أَعْلَاهُمْ عَيْنَا So that you give them back to us, because these are their people. They have to come back. They have to, you know, settle the disputes and deal with these issues. فَقَالَتْ بَطَارِقَتُهُ The patriarchs spoke at that time. They interjected. And they said, صَدَقُوا أَيُّهَا الْمَلِكِ They're telling the truth, O King. These people are right. لو رددتهم عليهم كانوا أعلاهم عينا. If you send them with them, send them back to Mecca, these are their leaders. They know how to handle this affair. And there's an insinuation here. They're implying that, no, it's a problem in Mecca. Why should it be brought here? So don't get involved in it. Just hand them over to them. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَدْخُلُوا فِي دِينِكَ فَتَمْنَعَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ. Because they did not join our religion, so you don't have any obligation to protect them. They didn't become Christians. You have no obligation towards them to protect them. فَغَضَبْ. He became angry. Extremely angry. He realized there is something being, you know, staged there. Something has been pre-planned. So he says, لَا لَعَمْرُ اللَّهِ لَا أَرُدُّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ حَتَّى أَدْعُوَهُمْ. He says, no, by Allah, I will never hand them over to them until I listen to them. I see what they have to say. قَوْمٌ لَجَأُوا إِلَىٰ بِلَادِي وَاخْتَارُوا جِوَارِي عَلَىٰ جِوَارِ غَيْرِي. These are people who came to my land and they chose my protection, not someone else's. فَإِنْ كَانُوا كَمَا تَقُولُونَ رَدَدْتُهُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. If they are as you describe, I will hand them over. If they are troublemakers, I will hand them over to these people. وَإِنْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مَنَعْتُهُمْ. But if they are not like, not as you describe, I will protect them. I will protect them. وَلَمْ أُخَلِّ مَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ وَلَمْ أُنْعِمْهُمْ عَيْنًا. And I would not hand them over and I would not allow them to even get close to them. I'm not going to give them that. So Najashi sends someone to bring the Muslims. Bring the Muslims over. فأرسل إليهم النجاشي فجمعهم ولم يكن شيء أبغض إلى عمرو بن العاص وعبد الله بن أبي ربيعة من أن يسمع كلامهم. So Najashi called the Muslims over, and عمر بن العاص, Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, the two deputies of Quraysh, that was the worst part. They didn't want to hear what the Muslims have to say. They don't like to hear the words of the Quran or the words of the truth. فلما جاءهم رسول النجاشي اجتمع القوم فقال. When the messenger of a Najashi came to the Muslims and he said, a Najashi wants to speak with you. He wants to see you. Muslims realize there's an issue there. There's problems. So they gathered together before they go. They said, what should we say? We have to agree on something. Now this is a tremendous affair. It has to do with our safety, our lives. We need to know how to speak. And it's also now it's political. It is political. We need to be careful what we should say, because we don't want to get ourselves in trouble. And that shows as well that a Muslim in any situation, you should be careful and vigilant. There are things, there are elements of the truth that you know. When you fear for your life, you should not disclose if they're going to jeopardize your life. And we will come to see exactly how these are, or how this works out. So they said, what should we say to him? They said to each other, وَمَاذَا نَقُولُ نَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ مَا نَعْرِفُهُ وَمَا نَحْنُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَمْرِ دِينِنَا وَمَا جَاءَ بِهِ نَبِيُّنَا كَائِنٌ فِي ذَلِكَ مَا كَانَ. They said, what should we say? We should say what we know, the truth that we know. And we should explain to him what religion is all about and what our Prophet ﷺ came with. Whatever happens, that's what we have to say. We can't make lies. We can't make up something. We're just going to say the truth. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ كَانَ الَّذِي يُكَلِّمُهُ مِنْهُمْ جَعْفَرُ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. When they entered upon النجاشي, the spokesperson for the Muslims was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. فَقَالَ لَهُ النَّجَاشِي. النَّجَاشِي says to him, مَا هَذَا الدِّينُ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. What is this religion you guys are upon, you guys are following? فَرَقْتُمْ دِينَ قَوْمِكُمْ وَلَمْ تَدْخُلُوا فِي يَهُودِيَّةٍ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيَّةٍ. You left the religion of your people, but you didn't join Christianity or Judaism. فَمَا هَذَا الدِّينُ. So what's this religion you are following? فَقَالَ جَعْفَر. Ja'far spoke. أَيُّهَا الْمَلِكُ. King, كنا قوما على الشرك. We were upon polytheism, associating partners with Allah in worship. نعبد الأوثان, paganism. We worship idols, statues. نأكل الميتة. We eat dead animals. ونسيء الجوار, and we don't observe the rights of our neighbors. ونستحل المحارم, and we break and we violate everything that is sanctified. We don't hold anything to be sacred. بعضنا من بعض في سفك الدماء وغيرها. We shed blood and we fight among ourselves. لا نحل شيئا ولا نحرمه. We don't know halal or haram. Everything is open. We don't know any limits. We don't know any regulations. فبعث الله إلينا نبيا من أنفسنا. Allah sent a prophet to us from amongst ourselves. نعرف وفاءه. We know his loyalty and his honesty. وصدقه, his truthfulness. وأمانته, and his trustworthiness. فدعانا إلى أن نعبد الله وحده لا نشرك به شيئا. He called us to worship Allah alone, without any partners. ونصل الرحم, and to observe the rights of our kin. ونحسن الجوار, and to be good to our neighbors. ونصلي لله, and that we pray to Allah. ونصوم له, and that we fast, we worship. ولا نعبد غيره, we only worship Allah. فقال النجاشي, النجاشي asked, فهل معك شيء مما جاء به؟ Do you guys have any of the scripture? Do you know any of the scripture that he came with? What is the scripture that he came with? Do you have any pieces of it? Anything? Do you know anything of it? وقد دعا أساقفته فأمرهم فنشروا المصاحف حوله. So he called the writers. He said, you guys come, bring your books and write everything. He wants to write, what is this new religion? He wants to document it. هلم فتلوا علي ما جاء به. Then he said to Ja'far, go ahead, recite, read. What is the scripture? So Ja'far, رضي الله عنه, recites. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كافها يا عين صاد. ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا. إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا. قال رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا. وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا. He started reciting the beginning of Surah Maryam. The story, it begins with the story of Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam. It moves on to the story of Maryam. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِنْ كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكِ لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا قَالَتْ أَنَّى يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا قَالَ كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. When the angel came to her, Jibreel alayhi salam, and how then she became pregnant, and the story then she delivered Isa alayhi salam, and he reached the point until Isa alayhi salam, when she brought Isa alayhi salam to her people and they accused her, they said, accused her of zina. What did you do? Where did you bring this baby from? And Isa alayhi salam spoke. He said, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. I am the servant of Allah. He made me a prophet and a messenger. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. And so on and so forth. And Najashi, upon hearing this, he was in tears. He was in tears. Not only him and the patriarchs around them. They were in tears. Why? Because these were people who still, yes, there were elements in their religion that were distorted, but there were still elements of truth. They recognized this. They recognized the profound nature of the words. So Najashi was in tears to the point where his beard was wet. Was wet. Then he says to him, and his patriarchs, as they're writing, and the writers, as they're writing, they said the books where they were writing were full of tears as well. Then Al-Najashi turns to Ja'far and he says, إن هذا الكلام ليخرج من المشكات التي جاء بها عيسى. He says, these words come from the same source as the words of Isa, of Jesus. عليه السلام. انطلقوا راشدين. You guys, you're dismissed. You can leave now, and you're protected. لا والله لا أردهم عليكم ولا أنعمكم عينا. He turns to عمر بن العاص, عبدالله بن أبي ربيعة. He says to them, والله I will never hand them over to you, and you guys live safe in my land. Decision is made. The decision is made. So the Muslims leave. Obviously they're happy with the outcome. So now Amr ibn al-As, being a very intelligent person, he's not going to give in. That's not the end of the story for him. He still is going to try. So he says to Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, وَاللَّهِ لَآتِيَنَّهُ غَدًا بِمَا أَسْتَأْصِلُ بِهِ خَضْرَاءَهُمْ. He says, okay, tomorrow I'm going to throw the biggest bombshell I have. I haven't used all my cards. I have something else. Tomorrow I shall go and speak to An-Najashi and provoke him against them, where he's going to kill them. Where he is going to kill them. يَسْتَأْصِلُ خَضْرَاءَهُمْ. He's going to kill them. I'm going to tell him that they claim that Jesus, his God that he worships, is basically a slave and he's not a God. I'm going to go and tell him that. And that shows when Ja'far ibn Abi Talib recited Surah Maryam, he did not get to the point where Isa alayhi salam states clearly that he is not a God, that he is merely a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That shows. But he just narrated the story of his birth and the story of his mother carrying him to her people. Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, he freaks out. He says, come on, that's very serious. He says, لا تفعل. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. فَإِنَّهُمْ وَإِنْ كَانُوا خَالَفُونَا فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ رَحِيمًا وَلَهُمْ حَقًّا. He says, yes, they opposed us. They came up with a new religion. But these are our people. We're not willing to sacrifice them. We don't want to kill them. These are our cousins. Amr ibn al-As says, وَاللَّهِ لَأَفْعَلَنَّ. I shall do this. I'm going to do it. خلاص, I made my mind up. So the following day, Amr ibn al-As goes to An-Najashi. Then he says, أَيُّهَا الْمَلِكِ إِنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ فِي عِيسَى قَوْلًا عَظِيمًا فَأَرْسِلْ إِلَيْهِمْ رَسُولًا فَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنْهُ. He came to An-Najashi and he said, oh my dear king, your highness, whatever, these people say something, an enormous, enormous words about Isa. He doesn't want to say anything. Go, send someone to them and ask them about it. Ask them about what they say about your God, Isa. فَبَعَثَ إِلَيْهِمْ. So An-Najashi sends a messenger to the Muslims. Now, Ja'far is narrating the story. He says, وَلَمْ يَنْزِلْ بِنَا مِثْلَهَا. And he said, we've never been troubled. He sent someone to us. We've never been troubled as at that moment. We've never been so worried just at that moment, because we realized it's a big thing now. فَقَالَ بَعْضُنَا لِبَعْضٍ مَاذَا تَقُولُونَ لَهُ فِي عِيسَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ سَأَلَكُمْ عَنْهُ. So we started debating among Muslims. What are you going to tell him if he asks you about Isa? What are you going to say? What is he? What are you going to say? So you see that it shows here, the context shows that the Muslims did not make this very clear and manifest to An-Najashi. And that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Someone who might be extremely enthusiastic might say, no, I have to say everything. That's not necessarily the truth. You can sometimes not disclose some parts of the truth when there is no need for it, especially if there is a lot of risk when it comes to your life. And this is why when he now he's going to ask him, they know he's going to ask them about Isa now directly. Now they said, what should we do? How should we respond to him? So finally they agreed to say, نَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ. Our final decision, Wallah, we're going to say whatever Allah says about him in the Quran. We're not going to make up anything. We'll say whatever there is in the Quran. وَالَّذِي أَمَرَنَا بِهِ نَبِيُّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And whatever our Prophet ﷺ commanded us, أَن نَقُولَ فِيهِ. That's what he taught us. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ وَعَنْدَ بَطَارِقَتِهِ فَقَالَ. So they went to An-Najashi and the patriarchs are there. Everyone is ready to hear the answers, because that's the big question in a Christian country, right? You're challenging the very basis, the very foundation of their creed. So An-Najashi says, مَا تَقُولُ فِي عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ. Straight away, what do you say about Isa? What do you say about Isa? فَقَالَ لَهُ جَعْفَرْ نَقُولْ. Ja'far replied, he said, we say, Abdullahi wa Rasuluhu, the slave of Allah and the messenger of Allah. Wa kalimatuhu, and his word. Wa ruhuhu, and a spirit that he created. Alqaha ila Maryam al-Azra al-Batul. It's his word and a spirit that he sent to Maryam, the virgin Maryam. That's it. That's what we say about him. There are Muslims today who fish sometimes in linguistic obscurities. Because here it says, his word and his spirit. His spirit in Arabic, this is, okay, this is possession. It shows like his spirit means a spirit that he created, just like the house of Allah. It's not like a house where Allah lives. A'udhu billah. Okay? It's the house of Allah belongs to Allah. But this is nisbatu tashrif in the Arabic language. Okay, this is possession that shows honor, that it's a special thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, naqata Allahi wa suqiyaha. About the naqa or the she camel that he sent to Salih alayhi salam as a miracle, right? So he says, naqata Allah, it's the she camel of Allah. What does that mean? It's a creation of Allah, that's all. It's just, there's something special about it. And there's something special about Isa alayhi salam. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught the companions, okay? وَرُوحُهُ Some people fish in this when they say رُوحُهُ, or Isa is special in the sense he is the soul of Allah, or the spirit of Allah. This is complete disbelief in Islam. This is blasphemy. This is blasphemy. Isa alayhi salam, ruhuhu, the spirit of Allah, that means a spirit and a soul that's created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it was favored with special things, the miracles that Allah gave him and his miraculous birth. So Najashi, when he hears this, he kneels down and he takes a small twig, and in the sand, he takes that twig from the sand and he says, well, he says, ما عدا عيسى ابن مريم ما عدا عيسى ابن مريم ما قلت هذا العويد. He says, عيسى ابن مريم is no different than what you described. As much as this, whatever. Basically, it's your description of عيسى عليه السلام is so close to the truth as I know it that there's no difference between it and the truth except the width of this twig. So it's basically pretty much the truth. And this goes against the creed of Christianity, right? So the narration goes, فَتَنَاخَرَتْ بَطَارِقَتُهُ. Now the patriarchs are all making this sound of what? Objection. What are you saying? تَنَاخَرَتْ basically, they're saying, something like that's what تَنَاخَرَتْ, okay? Imagine when there's a lot of them making this noise, basically objection. Just like in the British Parliament, you speak and people are just screaming at you, right? That's objection. We don't agree with that. So it's some sort of a tradition that, what are you saying? You're our king and you're saying this that goes against our belief. So he says, وَإِن تَنَاخَرْتُمْ وَاللَّهِ. He says, even, he turns to his patriarchs and he says, even if you say or you do whatever you do. So basically, that's the truth for him. Then he turns to the Muslims, he says, اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمْ سَيُومٌ فِي أَرْضِي. You go, you are free in my land. You are safe in my land. مَنْ سَبَّكُمْ غَرِمْ. Whoever tries to inflict harm on you, I will punish him. Then he says, anyway, he gives them protection. And he says a beautiful statement. He says, I'm not going to compromise on the truth, on people, to deny people their right when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved my own right at some stage in my life. Okay, this narration is taken from the main source of the seerah, the book of Maghazi ibn Ishaq. Okay, the main book in the seerah, Ibn Ishaq. And the chain of narration is authentic. So, now what happens, Amr ibn al-As is disappointed. His plans didn't work out. The Muslims remained there in Abyssinia and they lived. And then Ja'far radiallahu anhu, as this story goes, there was a problem soon after in Abyssinia. A person tried to usurp the throne from An-Najashi. He tried to take over, tried to topple An-Najashi and take over. And the Muslims were living in Abyssinia at the time. So the Muslims were siding with An-Najashi. They were making dua for An-Najashi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him victory over his enemy. But you're talking about two non-Muslims, right? Two non-Muslims fighting over the throne of one country. One is already a king, the other person is trying to take over. So the Muslims were making dua and they were actually anxiously observing what is going on, to the point where the battle, there was a battle, proper battle, that was happening on the other side of the Nile River, because it was around that area. So the Muslims were on the other side. So they wanted to know what was going on. They wanted to know if Najashi was still king or he lost. Because if he lost, for them Muslims, they don't have any safety. So they were probably thinking of maybe leaving Abyssinia. We don't know what this new king is going to bring about. So the Muslims, they wanted to know, but they didn't have any news. So they sent Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, who was the youngest among them. They actually created something to help him float, which is basically the skin of a goat that you used to make it into a small balloon kind of thing to help them float. And they inflated it for him, and he swam to the other side of the Nile, and he was observing the battlefield. And he saw An-Najashi's army won the war and defeated the other army, the other side. He swam back, and he gave the Muslims and the glad tidings that An-Najashi still will remain the king. So Muslims were extremely happy. So I'm going to even read the words to show you the happiness of the Muslims at that time. So when he came, he says, "Ala abshiru faqad adhhar Allahu An-Najashi." Get the glad. He says, "Good news, good news. Allah gave victory to An-Najashi." So listen to what the Muslims are saying. "Fawallahi ma alimna أو ما فرحنا بشيء قط فرحنا بظهور النجاشي." They're saying, the Muslims, they're saying, we've never been as happy as when we heard that news. ثم أقمنا عنده حتى خرج من خرج منا راجعا إلى مكة وأقام من أقام. Then we remained in Abyssinia. Then later on, some people went back to Mecca and some people stayed living in Abyssinia. That shows when Muslims are weak, and when Muslims are in a non-Muslim country and there are parties that are fighting or competing, Muslims are allowed to have emotions and are allowed to side, at least emotionally, with people who observe what? Justice. And who observe people's rights, who guarantee people's rights. But anyway, An-Najashi ends up being a Muslim later on, but he hides that and he keeps it to himself. No one knows. No one knows, not even the Muslims. The only one who gets to know was the Prophet ﷺ. Jibreel told him. Jibreel told him that An-Najashi was a Muslim. He didn't disclose any of that. And apparently he didn't know how to pray. How would he know how to pray? There's no way to know how to pray. There's no way to know anything so much about Islam. He only, apparently what we have in history is what the conversations he had with these Muslims. And he kept ruling with what? With the religion they had. But he died and he was Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَقَدْ مَاتَ الْيَوْمَ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ. When he passed away, the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ جِبْرِيلَ قَدْ أَتَانِي آنِفًا. Jibreel has come to me just, you know, a short while ago. وَأَخْبَرَنِي وَقَالَ لَقَدْ مَاتَ الْيَوْمَ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ. And he said, today a righteous man passed away. So the Prophet ﷺ prayed janazah from a distance on him, Salatul Ghaib. So there is a lot of fiqh behind the story, by the way, and the scholars have a lot of fiqh around this issue, but it's beyond the scope of this halaqah. Anyway, so I want to just take the statement of An-Najashi, because he said, when he figured out what the Muslims are, and he said, I'm not gonna, you know, take a bribe, I'm not gonna deny these people their rights when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me my right and protected my right. What was he talking about? There is history to this. Previously, the king of Abyssinia was the father of An-Najashi, his father. And since it's royalty, so it's handed down from father to son. The father of An-Najashi had only one son, which was An-Najashi. He was a young man, very intelligent, very educated, talented. And he had a brother, the brother of, who's the uncle of An-Najashi. Okay, the brother of the king, he had 12 sons. So the people around the king somehow didn't like some of the things that the king did. And they thought his brother is actually better to be king, because they saw as well how Najashi was very intelligent, and they thought he would be a very difficult man. Because usually people around kings, around presidents, these are people who, you know, usually have a lot of the influence. So they, and sometimes these are people who crave power. They're very thirsty for power. So they wanted someone who's meek, easygoing, they can actually, you know, use as a puppet. So they saw Najashi is not going to be that kind of person. And so they made a plan. They said, what if we just get rid of the king? Somehow we conspire, get rid of him. And we, since Najashi is still young, he will not qualify to be the king. We put his brother as the king. And then, you know, we can control him. We can control his sons because they're not that intelligent. And this was the plan. So they managed to get rid of the king by killing him. They killed him. And they got his brother in the plan. He was part of the plan. He knew about it. Because they promised him to become the king. And he became the king. And Najashi, still being young but very intelligent, he realized what was going on. But what did he do? He became close to his uncle, the king, the new king. Very close to him. Very close. He helped him a lot. He was always with him. He was giving him advice. He was aware of everything that was going around in the country, in that land, to the point where his uncle could not make a decision without his advice. These people around, they realized, man, this guy knows what to do. We have to get rid of him. Because if the king dies, he can easily take over. He can easily get his uncle, the king, just to make a decision that he becomes the king afterwards. It's easy. He has so much influence on him. We have to get rid of him. Because if he becomes the king, he knows what we did, he will get rid of all of us. We're doomed. So they spoke with the king, his uncle. They said, listen, that's a serious matter. We have to get him out of here. We have to kill him. He said, no, you guys can't kill him. They said, okay, we'll just get him out of this land. He said, well, I have this choice, either kill him or get him out. Just, okay, expel him out of this land. You guys do whatever you want, but don't kill him. So they take him, then they sell him as a slave in the slave market for 600 dirham. The person who bought him takes him and he travels. He's not from Abyssinia. The following day, the king doesn't wake up. He's dead. So they make they call for a meeting, general meeting. They all come and because the throne has to be within that family. And these are the two, that's who's left from this family is that king who died and his kids. And they try to find a good candidate among his children. None of them is able to be proper king. No way. They're just too foolish. So some of the wise people among them, they said, you know what? The only one who can really run this country. And don't forget, at that time, having a country, all countries were in competition with other countries. So there was a lot of danger. So having a weak king as well, extremely weak king, means the country will be weak, could be taken over by another state. So they had a lot of considerations to make decisions. So they say, you know, the only one who can run this country is the guy that you guys sold as a slave. They send everywhere their troops to go and find that guy who bought him. So they send in all directions, all routes, try to get that. Until they finally managed a few days later on to get him, and they brought him. They brought him and they made him king. And obviously, with their dodgy ways, they did not compensate the guy who bought him. So that guy comes and he says, where's the king? He comes and he finds the Najashi, he's the king. So he says, okay, that's a good thing. So he says, your highness, your royalty, you know, your people, your ministers, they took my slave without giving me any compensation. So Najashi looks at them and he says, you guys, you either give him his money back or he takes his slave with him. So obviously, they said, okay, we're going to pay him back. So they give the man back his money. So that's the story. It's the same narration in Sirat Ibn Ishaq. And that's where Najashi refers to. He says, Allah granted me, gave me back my right, preserved my right, even when people conspired against me. So I'm not going to conspire against these people's rights, the Muslims. So the Muslims, anyway, they live in Abyssinia, as we said, and they're safe and they can practice their religion. Now, Going back to Mecca, it's getting hard for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, getting extremely hard. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't give up. It seems the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to search for hope outside of Quraysh, because Quraysh are too arrogant, very resistant, disrespectful, very aggressive. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to approach people who come as pilgrims. We know that there's the Hajj season. People come from all around the Arabian Peninsula. The Prophet ﷺ is approaching them and is speaking to them publicly. He says, "Ana Muhammadun Rasulullah, u'budu Allah wahdahu la sharika lah." He says, "Whoever gives me support to convey this message to humanity." The Prophet ﷺ was approaching them, he was approaching them in their trade seasons as well. They had like these big markets like Uqadh, Mijanna, Dhil Majaz. All of these were big markets, festivals where people would bring goods and different types of things to sell and buy. It was a huge kind of business. The Prophet ﷺ would go to these places and he would speak to different tribes and tell them that I was sent as a prophet, as a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would you give me support? Now he's asking for support. Would you give me support so I can convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because لِأَنَّ قُرَيْشًا مَنَعَتْنِي أَنْ أُبَلِّغَ دِينَ اللَّهِ, because Quraysh stopped me from conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a person called Rabi' al-Daili. He says, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَصَرَ عَيْنِي بِسُوقِ ذِي الْمَجَازِ. I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the market of ذِي الْمَجَازِ with my own eyes. يَقُولْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. O people, say لا إله إلا الله and you will be successful. ويدخل في فجاجها, and he's walking through the booths and the places set, people set their tents and their shops. والناس متقصفون عليه, people are rushing to him, they want to hear what he has to say. فما رأيت أحدا يقول شيئا, and no one responds to him. People listen to him but no one gives him an answer. وهو لا يسكت يقول يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. He's never silent. He keeps saying, "Oh people, say la ilaha illallah, you will be successful." And he's not asking for money, he's not asking for wealth, he's not asking for status. It's all about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, "Illa anna wara'ahu rajulan ahwalu wadi'u al-wajhi." But behind him, there is a man who's cross-eyed and his face is so bright. Dha ghadiratayn, he has two locks, hair locks. يقول, إِنَّهُ صَابِئٌ كَاذِبٌ. He's behind the Prophet ﷺ. As the Prophet ﷺ is speaking to people, this guy is behind him and he's saying he's a liar, he's an apostate. صَابِئ, he's an apostate. He's a heretic, something like this. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَذَا. So I'm asking, who's this? Like, who's speaking? Like calling people to worship Allah. So they said to me, هَذَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ يَذْكُرُ النُّبُوَّةِ. They said, this is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and he says that he's a prophet. قُلْتُ مَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُهُ. Who's this guy behind him who's saying he's a liar? قَالُوا عَمُّهُ أَبُو لَهَبْ. That's his uncle, Abu Lahab. His uncle, Abu Lahab. Yet the Prophet ﷺ still is conveying the message despite all of this ridicule. And the response of a lot of the Arabs at the time is that, you know, leave him, because his people are saying he's a liar, so they know him best. So forget about him. That's the logic of most people. someone else is saying, رأيت أبا لهب بعكاظ وهو يتبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I saw Abu Lahab following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he was saying, يا أيها الناس إن هذا قد غوى فلا يغوينكم عن آلهة آبائكم. Abu Lahab was chasing the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he was screaming out to people. He was saying, this man is misguided. Don't let him misguide you from the religion of your fathers. وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ يَفِرُّ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ عَلَى أَثَرِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ is trying to run away from him. He's trying to get away from him. وَهُوَ عَلَى أَثَرِهِ. And he's following the Prophet ﷺ. وَنَحْنُ نَتْبَعُهُ وَنَحْنُ غِلْمَانُ. And we are following him, and we were young kids. We were teenagers at the time, just following them, seeing what's going on. كَأَنِّي أَنظُرُ إِلَيْهِ أَحْوَلَ ذَا غَدِيرَتَيْنِ أَبْيَضَ النَّاسِ وَأَجْمَلَهُمْ. I can see him, I can almost see him now. He's saying, he's making a recollection, he's remembering sometime later. He says, as if I can see him now, he's cross-eyed with two hair locks, and his face is very bright and very handsome. That's Abu Jahl. By the way, Abu Jahl was very handsome. Very handsome. Yet, Subhanallah. So it's not about beauty here. So the Prophet ﷺ still, you know, reaching out to people, speaking with them. Usually he would have Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Ali ibn Abi Talib with him, approaching people and speaking to them about Islam. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, لَبِثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ 10 سِنِينَ يَتْبَعُ الْحُجَّاجَ فِي مَنَازِلِهِمْ. The Prophet ﷺ, for 10 years, he is approaching the pilgrims for 10 years. فِي الْمَوَاسِمِ, in all their seasons, like Mijanna, Ukaz, these markets, وَمَنَازِلِهِمْ بِمِنَى, and Mina during the Hajj. He's saying, مَنْ يُؤْوِينِي وَيَنْصُرُنِي حَتَّى أُبَلِّغَ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Who gives me protection? Who gives me protection so I can convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I promise them Jannah. So the Prophet is approaching all of these people, yet, you know, he has not so far received a positive response. Now this causes the news of the Prophet to spread around all the Arabian Peninsula. People come for Hajj, they come for business, and they see the Prophet, so obviously people are going to talk about this. One of the people who hears about the Prophet was Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, he's from the tribe of Ghifar, which lives to the north of Mecca. North of Mecca. So he hears about this, so he wants to find out. So he sends his brother to Mecca. So he says, كنت رجلا من غفار. I was from the tribe of Ghifar. فبلغنا أن رجلا قد خرج بمكة يزعم أنه نبي. The news arrived to us that there is a man in Mecca claims to be a prophet. فقلت لأخي انطلق إلى هذا الرجل كلمه وأتني بخبره. So I said to my brother, go to Mecca, find this man, speak with him, and get me some news. فانطلق فلقيه ثم رجع. So his brother went to Mecca, came back. فقلت ما عندك؟ I asked him, what do you have for me? فقال والله لقد رأيت رجلا يأمر بالخير وينهى عن الشر. So his brother said, I found a man who enjoins good and advises against evil. فقلت له لم تشفني من الخبر. So I told him, that's not enough for me. Like, I didn't send you to just to give me this piece of news. So he decided to go himself. فأخذت جرابا وعصا. I took some provisions. ثم أقبلت إلى مكة فجعلت لا أعرفه. I came to Mecca. I looked around. I didn't recognize who Muhammad was. I don't know him. وأكره أن أسأل عنه. And I don't feel comfortable. I'm feeling worried that should I ask publicly about him? Obviously, because it's a serious security concern. وأشرب من ماء زمزم. I come to Zamzam and drink from the water. وأكون في المسجد. So I spend time in the masjid. I drink from Zamzam. فمر بي علي. Ali passes by me. Ali ibn Abi Talib. فقال كأن الرجل غريب. He says, it looks like a strange man. He speaks with him. So Ali strikes a conversation with the guy. He says, it looks like a strange man. It's not even a direct approach. كأن الرجل غريب. It looks like a strange man. It's also, it shows friendliness, right? So, قلت نعم, I said yes. قال فانطلق إلى المنزل. So he said, come with me, I'm your host. Gonna give you some food, man, you're a guest here. So he takes him home. فانطلقت معه لا يسألني عن شيء. I went with him, he doesn't ask me any question. ولا أخبره, and I'm not telling him anything about my purpose. فلما أصبحت, following day, غدوت إلى المسجد لأسأل عنه. I go to the masjid and I'm trying to ask about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وليس أحد يخبرني عنه بشيء. No one is telling me anything. فمر بي علي. علي again passes by me. فقال أما آن للرجل أن يعرف أو أما نال الرجل منزله بعد أو أما نال الرجل حاجته بعد. Hasn't the man found his goal yet? Hasn't he found what he came for? قلت لا. So I said no. So he said, come with me. So I walk with Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then Ali says, ما أمرك? You know, what is it? Like, why did you come here? So Ali, it seems Ali رضي الله عنه has a sense of firasa, intuition, insight. You can see there's something there. This man is not asking about anything and he came for something. So he realizes probably the man needs, I need to engage with the guy and ask him. And by the way, at the time, and up until the recent history, among the Arabs, it is a shame to ask guests questions. It's a very big thing to ask a guest a question. You don't even ask them about their name. among the Arabs. You don't ask them, why did you come here? For 3 days. For 3 days, you don't ask them. You could even put them in your house and not ask them. But today there are security issues. But that's the norms from the Arabs had from such a long time until recent history. That's what they had. They consider it to be disrespect and like it's being somehow intrusive towards a guest to ask him, where are you from? What's your name? Where did you come from? And where's your family? How many kids do you have? They don't ask any questions. They don't ask any questions. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, now he figures out the man has something. There is something there. So he wants to help him now. So he says, "Ma amruk?" Well, you know, what's behind you? Like, what's going on? وَمَا أَقْدَمَكَ هَذِهِ الْبَلْدَةِ. Why did you come to this city? قُلْتُ لَهُ إِن كَتَمْتَ عَلَيَّ أَخْبَرْتُكَ. If you keep it between us, I will tell you. You see, it's a security issue. There's a real concern there about safety. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, yes, I'll keep it between us. So he says, بَلَغَنَا أَنَّهُ قَدْ خَرَجَهَا هُنَا رَجُلٌ يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ فَأَرْسَلْتُ أَخِي لِيُكَلِّمَهُ فَرَجَعَ وَلَمْ يَشْفِنِي مِنَ الْخَبَرِ فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَلْقَاهُ. She said, I heard news that there is a man here who claims to be a prophet. I sent my brother to give me some news. He didn't get enough. So I wanted to meet him in person. Ali ibn Abi Talib says to him, أَمَا إِنَّكَ قَدْ رَشَتْ. You came to the right person. You hit the target. You came to right. هَذَا وَجْهِ إِلَيْهِ. I'm on my way to him. I was on my way to the Prophet. So he says to him, فَاتْبَعْنِي. Follow me. Look at the security issue. He didn't say walk with me. He said follow me. Basically, you walk behind me. أُدْخُلْ حَيْثُ أَدْخُلْ. Wherever I go, you go. Wherever I enter, you enter as well. فَإِنْ رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَخَافُهُ عَلَيْكَ قُمْتُ إِلَى الْحَائِطْ كَأَنِّي أُصْلِحُ نَعْلِي وَمْضِ أَنْتْ. If I see someone who might be a real threat for us, I would pretend as if I'm fixing my shoes, you keep walking and go somewhere else. فَمَضَى وَمَضَيْتُ. So he went and I followed him. حَتَّى دَخَلَ وَدَخَلْتُ مَعَهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Until we entered upon the Prophet ﷺ. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ اِعْرَضْ عَلَيَّ الْإِسْلَامِ. I came to the Prophet ﷺ. I said, tell me about Islam. What do you have? Show me what Islam is. فَعَرَضَهُ فَأَسْلَمْتُ مَكَانِي. He told me what Islam is. I became Muslim on the spot. فَقَالَ لِي يَا أَبَا ذَرْ. Now look at the concern of the Prophet ﷺ and his insight. He says, يَا أَبُو ذَرْ أُكْتُمْ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ. Keep this secret. Your Islam, keep it secret. Don't disclose it. وَرْجِعْ إِلَى بَلَدِكَ. And go back home. Don't go back to your country, to your tribe. فَإِذَا بَلَغَكَ ظُهُورُنَا فَأَقْبِلْ. Once you hear that I have gained power and dominance, you come and join me. The concern of the Prophet ﷺ for the safety of these Muslims. He says, hide your Islam. Don't show it to anyone. Don't disclose it. Keep it. And stay as a Muslim in secret and go back to your people who are non-Muslim. Stay among them as a secret Muslim. Once you hear that I have gained dominance and power, you come and join us. See the concern? How often we make decisions without any concern for safety and security. How many reckless decisions have been made in different places, different countries, that have led to the death of so many innocent people? And the problem is with death and crimes, they usually escalate and cascade. They become a link in a longer chain of violence. But Abu Dharr, being from Ghifar, Ghifar, by the way, were known for as very strong warriors. So Abu Dharr says, فَقُلْتُ وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَأَصْرُخَنَّ بِهَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِهِمْ. He said, by the one who sent you with the truth. The Prophet is saying, okay, you know, keep it low-key. He's saying, by the one who sent you with the truth, I shall scream out the truth among the people of Mecca. فَجَاءَ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدْ وَقُرَيْشٌ فِيهِ. So he came to the masjid when Quraysh were around Al-Kaaba. فَقَالَ أَبُو ذَرْ يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ. He's a stranger. يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ إِنِّي أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. In the middle of Quraysh. Oh Quraysh, I testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. فَقَالُوا قُومُوا إِلَى هَذَا الصَّابِئِ. They said, let's beat down this apostate. So they actually start beating him down. He says, فَقَامُوا فَضُرِبْتُ لِأَمُوتُ. So they beat me down in a way they wanted to kill me. He was almost killed. فَأَدْرَكَنِي الْعَبَّاسِ. Who managed to rescue him? Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. فَأَكَبَّ عَلَيَّ. Abbas threw himself over Abu Dharr, so he doesn't get any more punches or kicks. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then he turned to them and he said, Al-Abbas, he said, وَيْلَكُمْ تَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا مِنْ غِفَارٍ وَمَتْجَرُكُمْ وَمَمَرُّكُمْ مِنْ غِفَارٍ. You know, you crazy guys, you killed someone from the tribe of Ghifar. You know, all of our business caravans go through their land. You're gonna waste all of our business. You're gonna cut the trade routes for us. So, and you have a lot of business with them. So they left me. فَأَقْلَعُوا عَنِّي فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحْتُ الْغَدْ رَجَعْتُ فَقُلْتُ مِثْلَ الَّذِي قُلْتُ بِالْأَمْسِ. So he said, they left me. Following day, I did the same thing. I went to Mecca and I declared my Islam. They jumped on him another time, started beating him. And then until Al-Abbas came one more time. وَأَدْرَكَنِي الْعَبَّاسِ فَأَكَبَّ عَلَيَّ وَقَالَ مِثْلَ مَقَالَتِهِ بِالْأَمْسِ. Then Abbas came and he did the same thing as yesterday. He basically said, you guys don't jeopardize our relationship with his tribe, and so on and so forth. So, but it shows that Abu Dharr al-Ghifari seems that he went back, actually. He went back because for some time he said, I was the fourth person into Islam. But we know there are so many Muslims in different places. But that shows still that he kept the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now things got really, really, really bad for the Muslims. Very, very bad, to the point where who's migrating, who's leaving Mecca now, and who's going to Abyssinia, going to Al-Habasha? Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr himself from Banu Tamim, who has a lot of protection, yet he's leaving. Because of it became very unbearable for Muslims. Even people who had protection like Abu Bakr. But the Prophet ﷺ remained in Mecca. Abu Bakr left. He left Mecca. He set out towards Al-Habasha, Abyssinia, until he reached a place called Barkul Ghamad. Barkul Ghamad. Barkul Ghamad is in what we know as Asir today, southwest of Saudi Arabia, a little bit to the north of Yemen. This city is actually on the Red Sea. It's called today Bark or Berk. It's still called today. It's almost the same. It's very close. It's not far from Abha, from what we know as Abha in the south of Saudi Arabia. So Abu Bakr reached that place, such a long distance. And there's a tribe there called Al-Qara. Al-Qara. So the leader of that tribe, Al-Qara, a famous Arab tribe, his name is Ibn al-Daghina. He knows Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was a businessman, was a person who's highly respected among the Arabs. He was known. So he sees Abu Bakr and he sees Abu Bakr has a lot of like his personal stuff. And he says, Abu Bakr, what brought you here? Where are you going? Where are you heading to? He says, I'm going to Abyssinia because I can't worship Allah. I can't practice my religion in Mecca. So Ibn al-Daghina looks at him and he says, Inna mithlaka la yukhraj. He says, someone like you should not be kicked out of his country. It's crazy for people to kick someone like you out of the land. It doesn't make any sense. And as we said, it's a sense of shame among Arabs. That's what they call aib. Like it's a big thing. It's a huge thing. What are people going to say about Quraysh? They expelled someone like you. So he basically speaks to Abu Bakr. He says, Inna mithlaka la yukhraj. إِنَّكَ تُكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. He says, you support the people who are needy. وَتَصِلُ الرَّحْمِ. You connect, or you give the rights of your kin. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْنِ. You help the weak people. وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. And you are a very generous person to your guests. You're a good host. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And you help your people. You are supportive. You're always there. You have the back of your people. فَأَنَا جَارٌ لَكْ. You're under my protection. And the Arabs, we said, respect this big time. ارجع واعبد ربك ببلدك. Go back to your land and worship your Lord there. And Ibn al-Daghina, look at how the Arabs value these things at the time. He said, I'm going to travel with you to Mecca and I'm going to speak to all the people in Mecca that you are under my protection. They cannot violate this. So he goes with him to Mecca and he speaks to every leader in Mecca. He says, Abu Bakr, is under my protection. You guys shouldn't expel someone. Like, what are you guys doing? You crazy? That's what it, like, this is the context there. You crazy guys kicking someone like Abu Bakr out of the city? You can't do this. So they said to him, مُرْ أَبَا بَكْرٍ فَلْيَعْبُدْ رَبَّهُ فِي دَارِهِ فَلْيُصَلِّ بِهَا. Tell Abu Bakr, we have a condition. We'll accept this, but he has to worship, or he has to pray only in his house. And let him recite as much as he wants in his house. وَلَا يُؤْذِينَا بِذَٰلِكَ وَلَا يَسْتَعْلِمْ بِهِ. And let him not pray in public. فَإِنَّا نَخْشَى أَنْ يَفْتِنَ نِسَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَانَا. We are afraid that he is going to mess up the minds of our children and our families, our wives. Why? Because Abu Bakr used to pray, and Abu Bakr كان رجلا بكاء. Abu Bakr used to be a very emotional person. When he recited Quran, he would weep and weep and weep. So the children and the women used to come and watch the scene, watch Abu Bakr crying in the salah. So the men in Quraysh, they feared that these people are going to become Muslim, their children and their women. So that was their concern. So Ibn al-Daghina tells Abu Bakr, okay, they've accepted the protection, but there's one condition, that's what you do, you pray at home. So Abu Bakr, for a while, he was praying at home, but afterwards, in the yard, on the like backyard in his house, he builds a small place for him to pray. Call it Masjid or Musalla. And by the way, this is a sunnah that is forgotten. There's a sunnah that used to be at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that people had a masjid in the house. What does it mean? A small area as a musalla. Could be either a special room, like a small room, or could be a corner in a room. They called it masjid. They called it masjid. Why? Because we usually make sujood there, make salah there. So it's good to have in the house a place you call a masjid. I call a masjid. A small spot between two walls. That's the masjid. That's where you make your salah at home, if you pray at home. So Abu Bakr made his masjid in his backyard. And obviously, when he was reciting Quran, now the women and the children are coming and to observe the scene. See Abu Bakr reciting and crying. People of Quraysh got fed up with that. So they send someone to Ibn al-Daghina, travels to Ibn al-Daghina. And then he goes to him and he says, Abu Bakr has violated the condition. So Ibn al-Daghina travels back to Mecca. And he goes and speaks with Abu Bakr. And he says, you know, we have a condition, you're supposed to observe it. Abu Bakr says, listen, that's my religion, I'm going to practice my religion openly. Take back your protection, I don't need it. Thank you so much, but I'm not going to compromise on my religion. I pray wherever I want. So the man said, okay, if that's the case, I'm going to take back my protection. He goes to the people of Mecca and he says, Abu Bakr is no longer under my protection. Do whatever you want. And he leaves. So obviously, it must have been hard for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and for the Muslims in general. Yet the Prophet ﷺ was still speaking to the people in Mecca. And there is a very interesting incident where the Prophet ﷺ was speaking to Abu Jahl and Umayyah ibn Khalaf and Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt and Walid ibn Mughira, some of those leaders. And he was really, the Prophet ﷺ at that moment, it seemed that he felt they were actually listening to him. They were listening to him. So he was engaging in a conversation about Islam and about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. And at that moment something happened. It's a very awkward situation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends some Quran about that specific incident. About a specific incident. And to give you a clue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that incident. So what is it? It's going to be next week inshallah. We'll start talking about that next week. So, and we'll stop here. Jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We can take two questions before the salah. Around the 6th, 7th year of Hijrah. Yeah. Probably 5th, 6th, yeah. Around that time. One more question. We have time for one more question. Yes. Okay, that's a good question. The Jibreel, when he came to the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't inform him that an Najashi was Muslim. He said to him, an Najashi died today. but he was Muslim. So he informed him on the day of his death, he informed the Prophet ﷺ that Al-Najashi died today and he was Muslim. So the Prophet ﷺ prayed on him. So who put this in the seerah? It's actually in the seerah and in the books of hadith. When the Prophet ﷺ made this statement, he told the companions. Because he said, we're going to pray janazah on a righteous man who died today, which is Al-Najashi. So this is when it got recorded. So because the companions were informed by the Prophet ﷺ, and this is when it became public news. And the narration was preserved. Okay, jazakumullah khair, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.